Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Reverend Alethea Smith Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I always invite you to join us for worship on Sundays at the Pavilion of God, located at 6401 Chillum Place, Northwest Washington, D.C. Let me give you that address again, 6401 Chillum Place, Northwest Washington, D.C. We're the church where no one is missing. We can meet you where you are. You can come as you are, and we are an embracing and loving community. Our Bible studies are on Thursday at 6:30, starting September 25th. I invite you to follow us on Facebook, Pavilion of God on Facebook. And you can certainly tweet me at Rev Alethea on Twitter, and you can connect with me on Instagram, Rev Alethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., I do everything I can to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking as I talk about everything from pop culture to politics. And every Sunday at 12 noon, you can hear the sermon that I'm preaching at the Pavilion of God. So listen in and hear a good word from the Lord. Tonight, we were scheduled to have Mr. Otha Thornton, Mr. Otha, O-T-H-A, Thornton, the president of the National PTA, to be with me this evening. But at this moment, Mr. Otha Thornton is flying the friendly skies. It was a glitch in his travel plans, so we're going to reschedule a time to talk with Mr. Thornton to talk about our children from pre-K through high school, through 12th grade. He is the first African-American male to be the president of the National PTA, and we're looking forward to hearing his comments, his advice, his experience. And already I've gotten some emails and text messages about talking to Mr. Thornton. So, Mr. Thornton, be aware that we're looking forward to rescheduling you. We're at this point looking to a little later in September, so please keep tuned, and you'll find out exactly when he'll be on the show. If you have a comment or a question after my message tonight, because what I will be offering this evening is the message that I preached at 19th Street Baptist Church on August 29th in celebration of their 175th anniversary. Yeah, you got that right, 175 years in praising the Lord and doing God's good work. So if you have comments, at my church, at the Pavilion of God, we have sermon talkbacks. So tonight, if you have a comment, something that you'd like to share, something I say in the message this evening touches your heart, you want to share it, please know that after the message, call in, tweet me, text me, and I will be happy to engage your comments or questions. Let's pray, beloved. Let's just go to the Lord for a moment in prayer. Merciful and ever-loving God, again, I have decided to follow Jesus What a blessing that we can decide again and again as you speak to our hearts, as you touch our lives. We can affirm our relationship with you. We can affirm you walking next to us and embracing us. And we can shout, hallelujah, yes, Jesus is Lord. So tonight, oh God, I ask that you help us put the world behind us and the cross in front of us. I ask that your Holy Spirit rain down on us. Melodies from heaven rain down on us as we listen to your message this evening, oh God. Rain down on us as we push away the cares of this day, the trials and tribulations that surround us. Rain down on us as we kick off our shoes and slow down just a moment to listen to a word from the Lord. Rain down on us as we listen and even complete the mundane task of exercising or doing housework. Lord, rain down on us. Lord, wherever we may be in this moment, rain down on us. Melodies from heaven, rain down on us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. First, giving honor to God and to Pastor Derek Hawkins, the pastor of this great 19th Street Baptist Church. I want to praise God for this moment of preaching. It's always good to be home. It's good to be home. Home is where they have to take you in. Home is where your heart is. Home is where you are summoned when there is a need of a helping hand. Home is where you go when you need a helping hand. Home is where your history is. Home is where you go when it's time to remember God's blessings and how God has kept you, made a way out of no way. When you're thankful, oh Lord, hallelujah, we go home when we're thankful and when we want to celebrate, when we want to celebrate and thank God. And so today we're thanking God for 175 years of prayer, 175 years of praise and worship, service and fellowship, of opening Bibles and opening hearts and opening minds to the power and grace of God. It is always good to be home. Beloved, home is where I am at 19th Street Baptist Church. It is where my son was baptized. It is where I first served a Baptist congregation and was the first woman in the pulpit at 19th Street Baptist Church. Home is where my husband, Charles Withers, was ordained a deacon. Home is where my mother was funeralized at the great historic 19th Street Baptist Church. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be giving a message at what is a home church for this child of God. So this evening, beloved, as I bring to you what I believe God has brought and put on my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the full understanding of God's most holy word. The words, beloved, that I just read are the words from the Apostle Paul, a divinely inspired lesson to the church in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was at the intersection of their major trade routes. It was a commercial center, and it's what a powerful thought of it being at the center, thinking about Washington, D.C. being the epicenter of the United States of America. Ephesus was at the intersection of the major trade routes, a commercial center, one of the cities that was at the heart of evangelism that was done by the Apostle Paul. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he didn't address any particular error or heresy. You know, that was what Paul was known for, one of correction. But when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, it was not for correction, but direction. Correction, but direction. He wrote, so the Ephesians might better understand the dimensions of God's grace. He wrote to the Ephesians so they could understand the dimensions of God's grace and eternal purpose, the dimensions of God's grace and eternal grace. So he wrote to expand, not only to help the people understand the dimensions of God's grace, but to expand the horizons of the church of Ephesus. So I want you to think and say dimensions and horizons. Paul was what I call a horizonal thinker. And I want you to imagine the horizon and think about that which goes out some distance. He was a horizonal thinker. And like Paul, I want to invite the 19th Street Baptist Church in the District of Columbia and everyone listening to the sound of my voice to better understand the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and the dimensions of God's grace. I invite the 19th Street Baptist Church to expand its horizon. Amen. In June of this year, just a few months ago, my beloved husband and I went to Harrisburg, North Carolina, to be with our two beautiful granddaughters, Layla and Portia. And while we were there, being grandmother and grandfather, we had the occasion to visit my husband's Uncle Oliver. And Uncle Oliver is now 104 years old. And in October, just a little less than a month from now, he will be 105 years old. He was born in 1909. And I couldn't help but to imagine what the world was like 105 years ago. What were the challenges that Uncle Oliver faced? What were the challenges that this African man faced in this country 105 years ago? And as we talked with Uncle Oliver there at the nursing home where he lived in North Carolina, he began to talk about, of all things, his church, Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And beloved, he told us, and you know how those who are our elders begin to tell the stories and hear this man of 104 years old, and you know I was paying attention to what he was saying, each word I hung on, each word that came from his mouth. He began to talk about joining his church, Mount Carmel Baptist Church, over 80 years ago, and he explained that the church was at the center, at the epicenter of his life. The love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is what anchors him and keeps him. Every day he looks back at his relationship with his church and with his God and the way he served. You know, he has what I call and what many call a moment of looking back in order to go forward. And the word we use in the African-American community and in the African community is called Sankofa, which means to look back in order to go forward. Sankofa, in order to looking back. And today, as I'm here with you, I'm inviting you to do two things. I want you to open yourself to horizontal, looking out there way into the horizon, horizontal thinking that pushes you out forward. And I want you to look back. And I want you to make this moment, as we listen to this message from the Lord, I want you to look back in order to go forward. I want to make this moment, I want to make this moment a Sankofa moment. I want you to anchor yourself in a way that you can look back, not just look back, but look back purposely in order to go forward, Sankofa. So say in your heart right now, Sankofa, looking back in order to go forward. As I look back to 1839, when the 19th Street Baptist Church was founded, I'm trying to imagine the men and women who were the founding members. You know, how can we have this moment that God has given us to celebrate 175 years of a church without looking back at who God chose, who God selected to be the founding men and the founding women? Oh, who were these men that God chose? I'm trying to see their countenances. I'm trying to see their countenances, what they look like. And I'm trying to, in my mind's eye, see their faces. And I want to, in my heart of hearts, hear their voices. I want to understand their faith. What kind of faith did they have? I wonder what compelled them, what motivated them, what encouraged their hearts, what enabled them to venture out to a church that talked about Jesus and that talked about salvation in 1839. What encouraged them? Encouraged them to endeavor to worship God in Washington City. It wasn't Washington, D.C. It was Washington City. What gave them the mind to go out to worship God in Washington City, where safety for a black man was so precarious? Why did they venture out of the relative safety of their homes when it was even illegal for blacks to gather without the covering of a white man? Who were these men? Who were these women? Who was the pastor in 1839? What emboldened his spirit to preach? Not only like a man, but like a man of God. What gave him and what gave those who followed him the brazen authority and the temerity to stand up and preach? Hallelujah. I want you to look back, beloved. I want you to embrace Sankofa, for without looking back, there is no substantive horizontal thinking. Without looking back, there is no substantive horizontal thinking. And, you know, you can look forward, but if you don't look back, you don't have horizontal thinking. It's kind of like a spiritual physics that goes on, the ability to look back empowers you to look forward into the horizon. So if you're not looking back with your heart and your mind and your soul, you can't look forward in the way God wants you to look forward, with horizontal thinking. I want to be clear about the times. I want to offer a little historical context. In 1831, it was 8 years before the 19th Street Baptist Church was founded. In 1831, Nat Turner led a rebellion in Southampton County, Virginia. In Southampton County, Virginia, 3 hours south of Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not just mentioning Nat Turner's name because he's a historical figure. We all know a little bit about Nat Turner. I'm mentioning Nat Turner's name tonight because he often conducted Baptist services. Nat Turner was a man of God, and he preached the Bible to his fellow slaves, who dubbed him the prophet. And during that rebellion, 57 whites were killed and 200 black men and women were killed in the aftermath. And I want you to imagine that if 200 black men and women were killed in the aftermath, things changed after that rebellion, not only in Southampton County, Virginia, but they changed as far north as Washington, and the rights of assembly and other civil rights for free blacks was tremendously rebellion. Even from within that span of time, from 1831 to 1839, things were restricted dramatically. 1839 was 26 years before the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery. So I want you to see 1839 in your mind's eye. As you're looking back, I don't want you to look back without a real understanding of the time. 1839 was 24 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. I hope this means something to you. It was 22 years before the Civil War. There were only 26 stars on the American flag. In 1839, the year that 19th Street Baptist Church was founded, in 1839, in the July of 1839, 52 Africans took over the Amistad. There was something going on. God was raising God's spirit in the land. That was in July. And in August of 1839, the Reverend Sampson White stood up to preach at 19th Street Baptist Church, the first church of the Baptist denomination among the Negroes of the Washington City. The first African-American Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. I believe, have to believe, God inclines my heart to believe that he offered Reverend Sampson White a message that was framed with and anchored in horizontal thinking. It had to be a message in August of 1839 that was a message of hope, a message of salvation, a message of redemption and grace. It had to be a horizontal message. All of the pastors that came after Reverend Sampson White were horizontal thinkers. All of the men and the women and the children who had faith in the Lord and dared to worship in truth and holiness in 1839 had to be handpicked by God invested with the Holy Spirit that enable them to be horizontal thinkers. They had to have love in their heart and mission on their mind. They were called of the Lord, of this, of this, of this, I am certain. How else could they have stood up in a world that was so different from the kind of creature comforts that we take for granted today? Hallelujah. Somehow along the way, they learned what the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, 8, and 10 was saying, for it is by grace you have been saved. Somewhere along the line, these men and women of the Lord had to learn, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by your works. Because they couldn't stand up on their own, beloved. They had to know in a way that we don't know today, it is not by works, so that no one could boast. They couldn't boast of themselves. For they knew, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, I would even guess they knew who. They had to know. Think about it. They had to know in a way that we don't know today that there are dimensions of God's grace, that God's grace isn't flat. God's grace has dimensions. Paul points out the mentions of grace throughout the book of Ephesians. He teaches that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more exceedingly. I believe through the centuries, the members of 19th Street Baptist Church have heard the voice of the Lord, learned the lessons of the Bible, and even focused on the particular lessons taught in the book of Ephesians. At least they wouldn't be here today, 175 years later. They have learned over the centuries and the time that has passed that there are dimensions of grace and that there are many dimensions of grace. In one respect, the dimensions of grace are reflected in divine, in our divine design. In one respect, we want to say, what are the dimensions of grace? We find it, number one, in our divine design. I want you to hear again Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. This is a dimension of grace. Who we are, our divine design is a dimension of grace. The word workmanship, as used in the New Testament, is from the Greek word poyama. For the word poyama has more than one simple meaning. It does not just mean workmanship, a divine workmanship, God's handiwork. It also means poem. A poem has rhythm and grace, meaning on the surface and meaning beneath the surface. The meaning is found not only in the sound of the words as it hits our ear and heart. It has other meaning that we discover as it touches our soul. We are beings that have been made by God's own hand from the clay of the earth and from the very breath of God. Yes, God, beloved, has fashioned each of us and then quickened our spirit with divine breath so that each of us not only has a unique features, our faces, our fingerprints, we are different, but not only different in terms of how we appear, we have unique personalities and a unique soul. We are God's workmanship. A dimension of grace. We are God's poem. Maya Angelou talks about divine design. She talks about this dimensional great dimension of grace and her poem, Phenomenal Woman. It is the reach of my arm, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I am a woman, phenomenally phenomenal woman. That's me. Paul Laurence Dunbar knew the poetry of God's workmanship when he wrote, little brown baby with sparkling eyes, come to your pappy and sat on his knee. Amen. Amen. And in Psalm 139, verse 14 speaks about God's workmanship, a divine design. It says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it well. Yes, the dimension of grace can be seen in our divine design. Second, the dimension of grace can be experienced in good works, our divine design, and in two, our good works. God's grace opens us, empowers us to do good works. In Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus to do, it says specifically, good, you're getting this. I hope you're opening your heart and mind. Divine design and good works. That's how another dimension of grace. We may not believe that we do good works, or many of us may believe that we do good works just because we choose to. But it is not us. God chooses us and chooses the good works for us to do. As Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ enables us, I hope you're getting this, that our thinking, you know, when you have the idea to do a good work, to help someone who is homeless, to reach back and support someone that needs a helping hand, when we stop and we do these kind deeds, when we get up and do extra work and serve the Lord in a church and in a thousand sundry ways, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And because of grace, we are never too wretched to do good works. That's the Christ that is in us, the Jesus in us. No matter how wretched, how painful our lives may be, God enables us through the mind of Christ to do good works. And in Colossians 1:10, we read, your good works enable you to show up in the world as children of the King. Your good works enable you to show up in the world as children of the King. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Yes, a dimension of grace is seen in our good works. Third, a dimension of grace is recognized in your divine assignment. Each of us has a divine assignment. Your divine assignment is in your neighbor's divine assignment. Your divine assignment is in your mate's divine assignment. Your divine assignment is not your sister or brother's divine assignment. It may look the same, but it is different. It is unique. It is special. God gives each of us a divine assignment with many pieces, many pages, many A, B, C, D, E, and F parts. but we each have divine assignments, which God prepared in advance for us to work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. No, beloved, we have to accept our egos die. We have to come to terms with the fact that we cannot take credit for the good things we do. Give it up. Because the good things that we do, the kindness that we feel and are inspired to have in our hearts, the kind things we say, the kind things we do, the love we show, the forgiveness that we're enabled to embrace, all of the good works that we do for one another, for those we know and those we don't know, were prepared for us beforehand by God to do. It is expected of us. Remember, God has prepared good things in advance for us to do. The founding men, women, and pastors embraced the biblical lessons of horizontal thinking so faithfully that each of those who are members of the 19th Street Baptist Church are their legacy. The founding members were so faithful that they were able to carry a legacy, and each one serving today is the life of that legacy. You are today, each of us today, are their horizon. And we have to decide who is to be those who will follow us. It is yet to be seen who God's grace will place on our horizon. It is yet to be seen who God will place on our horizon. We are the horizon of those who were before us, but who is yet to come? I plead with you, in the matchless name of Jesus, to embrace this Sankofa moment. Embrace this moment of looking back in order to go forward. This 175th anniversary celebration is a time when we can look back to go forward. It is our Sankofa moment. It is an invitation for horizontal thinking. See the greatness that went before you. Each of us has that greatness that went before us. Acknowledge the shoulders upon which you stand. Be challenged by the men and women who were faithful to the Lord. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. I'm so glad they prayed for me. We've come this far by faith. D.C. needs men and women who journey over the way, who are willing to journey the distance and carry the legacy that is the 19th Street Baptist Church. D.C. needs men and women to journey over the way and to know and understand that the legacy is yours. St. Louis, Missouri needs St. Louis, Missouri, where men and women I had to say, hands up, don't shoot. All around this country, men and women who have to say, hands up, don't shoot, need the legacy that is the 19th Street Baptist Church. This country, beloved, needs, and this world needs, the 19th Street Baptist Church. For you carry the dimensions of grace. Each of you, under the sound of my voice, carry the dimensions of grace. You carry a divine design. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And as a matter of grace, you have a divine assignment. Carry the dimensions of grace, divine design, good works, divine assignment. Know that Christ is also calling the 19th Street Baptist Church to be horizontal thinkers and send out young men and young women to be leaders, entrepreneurs, architects, doctors, politicians, teachers, parents, and people who are faithful as the founding members were faithful, people who love the Lord and are called and saved by grace as the founding members were called and saved by grace. They need young people who are able and willing to look back and embrace the Sankofa moment. And then they need men and young men and women who can then be horizontal thinkers and who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that by grace they are of a divine design, that they are called to do good works, and that they have a divine assignment. 19th Street Baptist Church, all who are listening need to remember that when Jesus was on Calvary, when Jesus was on Calvary, he looked back, he looked back, he looked down and he saw Mary, his mother. He saw Mary, Mary Magdalene, and he as he looked at these Marys and looked at these women, he saw the life that went before him. He saw the disciple who he loved, and as he hung, he had a horizontal moment. He had a horizontal moment. He looked toward heaven, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He looked back. He saw his ministry, but he didn't get stuck there as he saw Mary, as he saw Mary of Clopas, as he saw Mary Magdalene, and he saw the disciple whom he loved. He didn't get stuck there. He looked on the horizon, and he saw heaven, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, not my will, but thy will be done. Yes, beloved. As Jesus looked toward the horizon, he saw the horizon of resurrection. He saw the Apostle Paul coming. He saw the Reverend Samson White, the first pastor of the pavilion of the 19th Street Baptist Church, coming. He saw the Dr. Moore coming. He saw Dr. Derek Harkins coming, and he saw each of you coming over the horizon. He saw your children coming over the horizon. He saw your grandchildren coming over the horizon. He saw your great-grandchildren coming over the horizon. Jesus saw the horizontal moment. He saw this day and the days to come. Beloved, it is my prayer that you may always look back and embrace a Sankofa moment and be able to move from Sankofa to horizontal thinking and horizontal faith. God bless you on this 175th anniversary. May you trust the Lord. May you love the Lord. May you know that God calls you to be anchored in faith and embrace the Sankofa. That God calls you to be anchored in faith and look toward the horizon of your resurrection, the horizon of you being embraced by Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, beloved, it is such a blessing to have this moment to share a word from the Lord. I pray that it is spoken to your heart this evening. I pray that there is something in this message to you that gives you the courage to look back over your life, look back over your life and look even at those moments of trial and tribulation. To look back over your life, but then not get stuck there. Look back over your life and learn that God has blessed you. God has anointed you. God has loved you. God has seen, carried you through trials and tribulations. That God has given you the ability to move forward and to serve God in holiness and in faith. What a blessing to know that we serve a Lord that enables us to look back and to go forward, no matter what trials we might face. What a blessing it is to know. If there is someone under the sound of my voice who does not know Jesus as his or her Lord and Savior, take this moment to know that you can look at the most challenging moments of your life, that you can, through faith, see the horizon of forgiveness of sins, the horizon of salvation. Simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, wash me clean, and I will make you the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. If you pray this simple prayer, I believe you were born again and that you will be enabled to look back with power through God's grace, through the dimensions of God's grace. I invite you to unite with a church that will embrace and care for you, enable you to grow in the power and grace of God. I invite you to reach out to me, to the Pavilion of God. We'll be happy to walk with you. Call me, 202-365-2842. Tweet me and email me at revalethea@gmail.com. Beloved, I see there is one message that has come in, and the person wants to know again where the Pavilion of God is located. We are located, beloved, at 6401 Chillum Place Northwest in Washington, D.C. Our worship services are at 12:30 on Sundays. I invite you to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Join us next Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Rev Up with Reverend Alethea. God bless you. Say-